Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. Black power. Black power, all power to people. Yo, once again, Black Power. Welcome to another show. Welcome to another show of the In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm your co-host, Chairman Mack, and my co-host, Master of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our engineer, our assault technician, on the ones and twos, Sister Amina Oshun, Minister of Communication. We want to, you know, bring another show tonight. You know, to politically educate our people. We moving around, but we gonna get the show done. You know what I'm saying? Tonight we want to talk about this strategy called destabilization. That's not a word in particular that, you know, we are accustomed to collectively as Black people, as African people in this part of the world. But this is a concept, this is a strategy that is used by the opposing forces. By what we can say, the unseen forces that operate behind, closed doors, behind the shadow, so to speak. This is a strategy that's used against those who are constantly subjected to the whims of capitalism. It's actually a strategy that's been used around the world. But we want to put it in perspective as far as Black people go here in America on the local level to try to get our people to understand what it is, the reason why we have such brutal conditions and the things that are taking place in our communities across the country, what we know as some of us occupied colonies, little Vietnam. and the apparent chaos that's, that permeates our communities. The material conditions that responsible for the concrete realities that we see, on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis, in the so-called hood or what have you, the communal or whatever, so-called urban areas. To stabilize something means to get control of something and bring it under control and it becomes stable, such as a stable foundation to build a structure, upon which to build the structure, such as, for instance, when the engineers or architects or whatever want to raise a, high-rise building. You know, they establish a lane, do the necessary surveying, surveyance, what have you, the groundwork upon which the structure is going to stand. And after so much, after so long, they determine that, this site, this place is fit. It's all right. It's okay. It's safe to build this building, based off the design. Upon which that the this structure that the goal to build it is design and architecture, and that's what you call establishing stable ground. Some of you may be familiar with the groundbreaking ceremony, where they come, the real estate brokers, the symbolic gesture. So that takes place. Then they begin to to lay the the foundation. So this is what we want to explain to give an idea of what we're talking about here. And of course, if you place the word D in front of stabilization, you have destabilization. And to destabilize something means to weaken it, to set it up to where it could fail, to where it becomes vulnerable, susceptible to, crashing, to imploding. And this government, this system has practiced this strategy on the local level, on the national level, and on the international level around the world, which is creating nothing but chaos in terms of the targeted country, its government, which 9 times out of 10 chose to not be compatible with the steerers, those who orchestrate, guide, keep going the capitalist system. So I want to make that connection on the local level. Because more times than not, we've failed collectively to understand. We fail to grasp the full picture, and that on the surface we see, us destroying ourselves, self-inflicted genocide, and the tactic of black on black crime. Let me say this: I would be willing to challenge anybody on this earth to take black on black crime and put it in another context. To practically, get us to understand collectively black on black crime. We see it as a revolutionary organization, as a revolutionary group. We've learned from those who have come before us, in particular, the Black Panther Party. We're not going to be able to say that enough, as far as ideology goes. We believe as a People's Political Party, in the ideology along the lines of the Black Panther Party, because we believe that the Black Panther Party has done more sufficient work than any other organization. You may take Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association, which, you know, was operating in the, you know, the 20s, you know, for the Black Panther Party, and the things that that Garvey was able to achieve, you know. But when a group of people collectively decide to take their lives back into their own hands, they begin to think a particular way. They begin to take on a particular attitude, heightened awareness, heightened consciousness, you know, which means the response is different from the usual, you know. And when that group of people begin to elevate and they begin to seek their liberation, they begin to take a certain posture, you know, that's unlike before or unlike the usual groups that have been, you know, designed to steer or guide Black people in particular, you know. So one way to prevent the revolutionary transformation of society is to keep up strife. In other words, that one could think of chaos, vice, static, confrontation, conflict, you know. And of course, you know, ultimate conflict, you know, coming to blows, what have you, and this leads to death. This is what we see across the country in the communities where Black people are concentrated. And so, methodically, strategically, tactically, so to destabilize the central areas, the central focus of the struggle, of the power of the struggle, transforming blind rage into conscious power, you know. George Jackson, who was one of the founders of the Black Guerrilla Family, the instrumental architect in the late 60s, early 70s. And because of the ability that George Jackson possessed, and they had to create a situation to kill that potential spark that would ignite the revolutionary transformation of society. So we as the People's Political Party, we don't see crime in the usual context, the usual orthodox view of things. You know, we see crime as a black-on-black crime, particularly as a necessary political tool to prevent the revolutionary transformation of society. What we're seeing, in essence, is virtually not new. You know, there were those who had come before of us, who had come before us, who really understood crime in a political context, because we, you know, they understood that our relationship as Black people with the state is political, and what we mean by the state is the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, and we'll never be able to say that enough. You know, who work hand in hand in a concerted effort to keep the structure intact. White ruling class structure rule, white male patriarchal rule, you know. And so they would be willing to do whatever they have to do to keep their position intact. And so when certain forces or certain elements in the amid the black masses gain some type of political consciousness, where they elevate their understanding, they elevate their consciousness into a revolutionary consciousness, a revolutionary context, then the state begins to have trouble. You know, and so the understanding where the, let's say, the main power source, the greatest potential power to be a destructive force, exists in what is referred to as the urban environments, the urban communities and stuff and whatnot. You know, and so you'd have to take that potential on the part of the state and keep it at odds with itself. And of course, those who have been concentrated or caught up into it. There are those who have made it, so-called, in society, you know, who have, you know, went on to achieve personal success. We have no problem with that. However, it's not about, you know, the personal thing when it comes to a collective group of people. This has clearly shown us that any group of people who have come under the rule of thumb of another people who have created oppressive conditions that drive the oppressed into an attitude, you know. You know, young people, they use the word swag, but that would drive them into a particular form of thinking, whereas never before, you know, they've been driven to such a psychological thought process. You know? And this is, like I said, it's nothing new. You know, we study history. You know, we've seen what the oppressor groups have done. We don't have to make up anything, you know. Now, we go strictly off of a historical analysis or historical representation, a picture based on history, you know. So that's what we always attempt to do. You know, not being spontaneous, some type of reactionary type thing, you know. But when the community begins to become conscious, become organized, the most strenuous part of the community, and of course, the most powerful sector where black people cohabitate is in the community. You know? And the Black Panther Party was able to penetrate that. They was able to tap into that potential power and make a difference. You know, for instance, on the West Coast, in Los Angeles, it was the Slauson Street Tribe. And the leaders, Slauson Street Tribe was one Bunchy Carter. Al Prentice Bunchy Carter. So the Black Panther Party was able to politicize him, get him to understand from a certain respect. And as a result of that, you know, was instrumental in forming the LA Panthers, the Slauson Panthers. You know, and because of that ability, that wasn't a good idea to the state. And so they had to create conditions to where they could become one of static, one of adversarial, one, you know, adversarial opposition, you know, the dichotomy, opposing forces, all of the things that we can think of, you know. And so as a result of that, the community come under attack. You know, some of us have heard, you know, about the, you know, we make the case about, you know, we're not the owners of the drug trade, and, you know, we don't own the ships that are used to bring it in, or the planes, or what have you. You know, we don't own the transportation systems. You know, we don't own the chemical labs to produce, you know, what eventually is turned into, you know, crack cocaine or heroin emerging from Central Asia, you know. And so, but it appears in our communities, it appears in the neighborhoods, you know. And this is part of the destabilization strategy that's used against the black people, you know, to get, you know, our communities so, you know, struck by fear, you know, and violence and stuff, man, that we would begin to give up our so-called civil liberties in exchange for their protection. And the state understanding this, studying those who had come before them, you know, for several hundred years going back, these Machiavellian this Machiavellian ideas, such as create a formidable enemy, you know, fabricate one, and then take that perceived enemy down, and the people would gravitate towards you even more. You know what I'm saying? They would be willing to. They're looking to you for protection. And so this is what you see in the so-called black community. You know, this rampant thing about violence and drugs and what have you. You know, and to take that and scapegoat black people as the epitome, the poster child of violence in America. Thing about mass shootings is being redefined to fit a certain agenda, to will the perception to the world. And once again, that when you say mass shootings, if you're lumping all the the violence, the shootings that take place in so-called black communities, then the perception, the image would be around the world that when you say mass shooting, it changes the imagery, the context of it, and then people will start being persuaded when you say mass shootings, you know, your subconscious, you know, you imagine and you picture black people, you know. And this is part of the destabilization process, to keep up static. In the 60s, the state, the CIA armed state, had inaugurated, was referred to as Operation Chaos. You know, and ever since the word, what it was designed to, you know, to create chaos in the communities and, again, get, you know, of course, the elder segment, the elder population, or, you know, those adults who would be deemed or fit enough to be the mothers and fathers of the younger brothers who are here in the streets. You know, and so to create those conditions is necessary. It's very necessary. You know, to keep the structure intact. Its potential as a destructive force. You know, which is what I spoke about, you know, two ticks ago. You know, to keep up such conditions, which would drive the material conditions into concrete realities. And these concrete realities are predicated upon what? Media people who are subjected to this type of lifestyle, ideology, or psyche as the person whom, you know, they encounter in the streets, you know. And this is the it's a classic example of what we can refer to as the destabilization, the strategy of stabilization. All around the world, this country has created these conditions to overthrow other governments that don't fall in line or don't agree or, you know, don't want anything to do with capitalism. I mean, capitalism is the exploitation of the natural resources of foreign countries. You know, the attempt of what is perceived as diplomacy and whatnot, and then later on use and force, you know. It's a book that I've come across in more recent times. I think it's called The Confessions of the Economic Hitman or something. But this European is clearly explaining the whole process. You know, trying to create a destabilized currency, a destabilized system, a destabilized government, which will lead to chaos. You know, and if you can drive chaos, you can drive chaos into such proportions that it turns violent. You know, it's inherited violence. And this is the condition that we find our people today, our younger people, you know, of course, being targets ourselves, we don't, you know, shake from the end of that. I mean, we understand it as a revolutionary organization, heighten the consciousness of black people collectively, you know. And so to create these conditions is to drive the government that's intact. This country has charged other countries of being guilty of not practicing democracy and whatnot. And yet you can look, you know, at videos of, you know, have you, you know, people are taking photos and whatnot in front of their properties and their automobiles, whatever. And, you know, you can get this, you know, type of understanding. You know, such as place like Venezuela, you know, on an international level, to go after that country specifically for what? In order to keep up chaos, to create mayhem and stuff. And this is what you see in the black community. So it's artificial, it's superficial, you know. And this is why people in parts of the world have learned to fight back, you know. At some point, black people in this country would have to reach such proportions and conditions, you know, unfortunate circumstance. But you could go after a country's economic system, drive them into despair, then attack their currency. Make their currency becomes weak. Now, there's this thing about trading currency and whatnot, if these, you know, airports and whatnot, going traveling overseas, whatnot, stuff like that. One group just gets to dominate the other group. And so recently, you know, the country of Turkey had an earthquake, you know. And, excuse me, that was a pre-planned thing. You know, with those who understand that the hurricane in Turkey, I mean, the earthquake in Turkey, that was a man-made effect. No. And that is how people in Turkey end up in the conditions that they're in. And of course, Syria, which is, you know, right next to Turkey, and what would be considered Northwest Asia, the corridor to Eastern Europe. These countries, these governments have become to understand about the trade and currencies, you know. So this is what the U.S. has always attempted to maintain. Remember, those who maintain begin to understand it. There's nothing that can be done. Prevent the overthrow of certain governments artificially. Whereas on the flip side, there could also be nothing that could be done on the opposing forces when the people have become so politically conscious that they understand what's being done. But the whole point is to keep up chaos and strife, you know. And it goes across the board. You know what I'm saying? So in the so-called black community, this is what you see. You know? That's what you see. And that is clearly the case. You know, a lot of people who would be considered as part of the working class and what have you, you know, this whole thing about white collar, blue collar, you know, but you know, at some point they don't see any difference. You know what I'm saying? So to create a situation, a scenario, and then you can constantly, or it can stay in a constant predicament, you know, a constant situation. We can say that such things as vice, V-I-C-E, and this vice will lead to further things. You know? And of course, those further things, you know, a lot of times end up in physical confrontations. Well, you can create those conditions artificially. And there are those who have not had the nerve or the gall or the not brave enough to explain this shit, you know. So you'd be out in the street, you could explain some of these things to young people never heard before, and you know they become attached to, you know what I'm saying, being a living witness of, you know. But you have to create a condition to where the leader of that city, you know, more times than not, you know, in an American context, you know, will be a mayor, you know. And this mayor has a responsibility. You know? But, you know, you get to realize what power really is. You know what I'm saying? what it's really about. You know, to be able to dictate one's own life, you know, or collectively as a group. You know, and so to, you know, to come into an understanding, liberalism or what have you, you know, some people become activists and whatnot, you know. But the condition drives people to a further point, you know. It pushes them to the brink. And when that that energy, what we refer to as spineless rage, will become political and a conscious thing, you know, to turn spineless rage into black consciousness or the power of consciousness, if I will, you know. And this government, you know, sees the time, you know. They seize the time, then making certain strategic moves, tactical moves to kill that movement, you know. And so what better way to create the material conditions that would drive concrete realities? So what do you mean by concrete reality? You know, the shit that you see on the news at night or read the newspaper, you know? And then, you know, people have these different types of, you know, thought process, types of ideology. You encounter the brother today, you know, he's on, you know, this level, certain terminology has been used, words and whatnot, you know. To you know, create these conditions, you know, and keep in turmoil. And this is what you see today, you know, so-called black-on-black crime, you know, coming out of the, you know, physical slavery, reconstructed Jim Crow. You know, and we have to understand that even our own people are those in our ranks, you know, who have the same type of understanding, you know, about what we talk about here, you know, and create these conditions that would, you know, keep the neighborhood in constant, you know, turmoil, you know. And this is why certain groups will work in the community back in the 60s. They're able to do what they were able to do, you know. And they had become formidable threats, and particularly the Black Panther Party. You know, when J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI, you know, had declared, had declared the Black Panther Party as the, you know, the most dangerous threat to the internal security defense of the government of this country. You know? And so they had to be neutralized. And this is one of the ways that they set out to do it. You know, to prevent the revolutionary transmission to fire. You know? And so to take it out of a stabilized context into a destabilized one. You know, of course, you know, the drug trade, the drugs and whatnot. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, I wouldn't expect any of the white trainers, what have you, whatnot, of Mike Tyson, to run up on the pigs and you know, go into a thing about power and thinking you're gonna be cool with it if we didn't, you know. And it is, you know, that's what we seek the same type of understanding, you know. And so to be in a society like this, that begins to become transformed because certain force of certain elements within our group has reached a certain level of understanding. You know, begin to think like a Malcolm X, A. Trap Brown, you know, or Fred Hampton. You know? And it's something that you can have certain people in certain places and be, you know, quote unquote black and cannot offer you nothing more than, you know, the utopian dream, you know. You know, selling you, you know, the pie in the sky. You know, and yet the realities that face us every day, you know. The brutal condition. You know, we see it as a war within a war. You know, and what we refer to as the occupied colony, or even little Vietnam. You know, there will be casualties, even on a large scale. We would accept it. Speak in person or whatever. Or I've learned to accept it over the years. Here's what it is. You know. But, you know, you'd be thinking, what would be the thing that would prevent you from taking part in the revolutionary struggle? Trying to put it in a way where it can be as simple, you know, simplified. You know, people see the drugs and the violence in the community. And you know, you have these, on a local level, these local city officials and city councils. You know, somebody's elected police chief and whatnot. You have the mayor and stuff like that. But we're talking about power. You know, the power supersedes all of this shit, you know. And so you can create the perception that we got a black mayor and that somehow, some kind of way, there's a black mayor is going to bring relief to our conditions. And it's bigger than this mayor. And these are recent things that have been taking place around the country, especially in such cities as New Orleans. You know, the level of you know, cutthroat type of shit to take place, you know. This is why, you know, we don't believe in any new form of broken system. We don't believe that you can somehow, some kind of way, we're going to reform these things and keep the same structure intact. You know, but to destabilize a community. It's keeping kinds of chaos, you know. And, you know, people come up with, you know, we were having these town hall meetings and whatnot. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, certain levels, you know, on how to try to explain it, you know. We don't see it any other way. We don't see it like people usually will see it, you know, like in the news, you know. There's people who come behind the generation that came out of the 60s. You know, all they can see is, you know, is, you know, all these little dudes, you know, shooting, maybe killing up each other, and it's a shame, and you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, due to that lack of understanding, you cannot see past the usual orthodox view that has been spit to them, that has been fed to them, you know, control the narrative through the media, the newspapers, and what have you, you know? So we've taken that shit out of their hands and placed it in our own hands, and began to re-examine it, began to look at it at a much deeper level, and began to stand it from the level of a political relationship, a political a contradiction, you know? And, you know, the war within the war that people cannot see. They can only see the war within, you know, on the type of preparation, as strange as it may sound, you know. Young cats is becoming more and more conscious, you know, than ever. But to be stuck in that kind of predicament, you know, it's fucked up. You know, it's a war within the war is necessary to take place. You know, you have the liberalism and whatnot. Ever since, so, you know, some bomb just comes along and, you know, like he has the right formula, the right idea, and I'm the man or I'm the woman, whatever. You know, and then, you know, the same old pitch line, you know. And so say to understand there are certain of us who, you know, who's able to go in the community and politicize the people, and that our message is not, you know, some watered down thing, or like we have to depend on white liberalism to be legit, you know, whatnot. If you were genuine, if you had it going on, you would need a camera. If a camera followed you around, they'll be seeking you out, you know. And so all the dope and the crime and whatnot is part of that process. You know, you can, again, you can prey on people through their vulnerabilities, the fit and anxiety. There's a light-skinned woman, you know, with a book called The New Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander. You know? And if you read this book, you'll see certain things in there that's pertinent today. You see exactly what's going on. And with these realities face you, you know, you're trying to tiptoe around and more pretend that, you know, things are going to be cool, things are going to be all right. You know? But that's not reality. That's not our reality. Our reality is to get free. I'd rather be liberated. You know, I'd rather be no more, no less than what George Washington wants for his people. So we feel that we can have the same type of things that George Washington wanted for his people, you know, that we want for ours. You know? Yet we didn't even, you know, have anybody in physical chains, in physical body. You know? And so we see that. You know, nothing wrong with being revolutionary. You know? But the whole point and goal is you taking the community, you know, you look at and see the potential power to be the most destructive force, and you steer it in the direction of chaos. Back in the 60s, they ran the operation in the black community, referred to as just the word that I use, Operation Chaos. And that was to keep up chaos, you know. And the way we become so blinded that we be cool with the shit. you know. And the thing about this imagery, you know, the people are seizing the time, people are seizing the moment and try to run for these little local offices and whatnot. You know, scapegoat the black community, scapegoat the black youth, the educational process, you know, with the school day morale, you know. And we have pinned one Black History Month, you know, to articulate our struggles, our successes, you know. And of course, somebody control the narrative. And it has to be said, you know, there was a certain force that made sure that they would be able to, you know, give you more of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And they were giving you Malcolm X, and, you know, more than like they were giving these negative impressions of him, you know, because the things he knew, the things he was willing to say, that either, you know, civil rights leaders refused to speak on, they didn't know, or, you know, shit, you know, stay away from, you know. And to control, you know, control the narrative, you know. So you could destabilize black communities around the country, and you can stay in a lofty position. You can stay in control of the situation. You can be dominant, you know. Internalized conflict, you know, with some refer to itself as genocide. You know. And of course, self-inflicted genocide is gold hand in glove with the depopulation program that is being carried, that is being orchestrated and part of the state. You know, shrink the numbers down. You know, real shit. You know, find themselves, you know, without a male partner, and yet trying to raise a man child. You know, people looking at, you know, like 10-year-olds, 13-year-olds, whatever, get out there and do all these things. You know, quick, you know, point of sense. And it's always like, you know, it's reserved for the so-called hood. You know, it's almost this thing where is somebody speaking about or the news or the youth or whatever, you in the news, you know, front page or whatever. You know, somebody's just shame, and here you are right here. You know. No. And this is the situation that we face today. And we must be revolutionary in our position, in our stance. Yeah. The police is the first line of defense. That the police is the enemy. It's something that, you know, might be on some personal trip. No, but see, the police is the collective force. You know? All apparatus, on part of the state. You know, to keep that intact. Thank you. Lee. Jimmy. Jimmy. Can't be. But. So. Today has been a strenuous day for some of us. Put myself in that. Going on the deep south. And it's strict sense of this. So sometimes it makes me difficult to put things in such a way that people understand. But these things are no more than a strategy, a tactic to prevent the change in this society. I mean, think that the throne of the right ruling class and the slunkies, to maintain the current structure, position of power, those who are subjected to those political winds. In the part of the world of the captain. We've come upon the last minutes of this show. And we tend to push them forward, make it as struggle to a contribution to the struggle as people's political part. In defense of the people radio. No more no less than the political education process. To heighten the consciousness, therefore the response is different. Heighten response to the usual strategy, if you will. Judges, for instance, being afflicted of police terror. in itself part of a relationship has been irreconcilable from day one. But, to be doomed as a group of people who've been ripped apart from their roots and then turned inside out. And then through the process by creating conditions that prevent the revolutionary transformation of society. So what you see in these communities today, of all the things that are taking place, of course, the news hype, is an orchestrated effort to build this sort of consensus in the minds of the public. Whereas this constant notion of crime, and violence, and the usual responses to it, some people are under the impression that, they believe that the power of the vote can alleviate the political wars of black people. And realistically, power of vote can only take black people so far in itself, become a class issue where those who have quote unquote made something out of themselves get to ride the wave of the black collective masses, mostly not experiencing the type of lifestyle of those who, quote unquote, again, have made something themselves. But hoping that they're able to give the type of context of the strategy of destabilization in order to keep the conditions as they are to this peace on the local level. So on that note, see, stay tuned for another show in the Peace in Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. Your host, as myself, the national chairman of People's Political Party, Bernard Turner, calls Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, from the Women's Tools, SAR technician, and Sister Amino Shum, our National Minister of Communications.